Thank you, Diane. I appreciate that. A word of hope. Word of hope. Story time. This is very appropriate because I just was hanging out with one of these guys yesterday, and we also drove back from Minnesota where there was a nasty storm. So when I was a student back in St. Paul, a seminary student, in my early 20s, I lived with a couple buddies. I lived with a guy named Becker, a guy named Nick, and there was a gal named Tana. And we lived in this house that was an absolute dump. We rented it, and it was just terrible. And ironically, you know, talking about the dirt in the barn floor, there was a dirt basement floor in this house. And the landlord had fixed, quote, quote, leaks with buckets under the sink in multiple bathrooms. And eventually we had a tree crash through the roof of this place. And they had to put a new roof on because we were about to get kicked out onto the street. It was not a fun way to wake up one day. Well, there were a couple of us living there. And as I mentioned, there were a couple guys and there was one gal, and we let her take the attached garage. We were being gentlemen because when you live in that part of the country, you tend to have to park on the street. You have to park on the street. But we let her have the parking garage. And what happens if you park on the street and you don't move your car when a plow comes? Not good. Not good. There are repercussions. Maybe some of you have experienced this at some point in time in your life. Well, I remember waking up one day. It was a Saturday morning. It wasn't all that early in the morning. To this strange beeping noise. You know, it wasn't music. It wasn't music I was hearing. It wasn't my phone. I'm like, man, what is this sound? It wasn't a video game from one of my housemates. It wasn't an alarm, but man, this beeping noise was annoying. What the heck was this beeping noise? And it didn't concern me that much, though, because it would go away for like, you know, 20 minutes, and then I'd hear it again, you know, and then it just would go away again. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It sounded like it was on one side of the house and then the other side. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what this is, you know. Maybe one of those fan-dangled apps that the kids have these days or something like that. Strange. Well, finally, I got up, I rubbed the sleep from my eyes and looked out the window because I heard the sound again. It was really loud. And there it was. It was a tow truck backing up to my car. It was parked out on the street. So I ran outside in my pajamas. I don't even know if I had shoes on. I jumped in the car. There was snow everywhere. There was like a snowstorm all night. I jumped in the car, started it, and floored it backwards as this towing company guy was waddling out to the front of the car trying to hook it up. And it wasn't booted or anything. So I got away far enough where he wasn't able to tow me. I cleared the window off and then got back to the street, to the proper side of the street. And unfortunately, I had to go and bring my housemates, except for the one that had the garage spot. I had to bring two of them to, I think, the impound lot to go get their vehicles. It was a great way to spend a Sunday morning and early afternoon. But I got a nice parking violation to commemorate that day. Well, here's the thing, folks. As I've heard our scriptures for today, and as I read them earlier this week for this first Sunday of Advent, this Sunday when we begin our journey to the manger, you know, I couldn't help but think of that story. Because we are called to be on the lookout. We are called to open our eyes and our ears and really open ourselves to be filled with expectant hope and to keep watch of what is going on around us, to keep watch and to wait actively for Jesus' arrival. And I couldn't help but think of this experience of sleeping through it because it kind of sounds like what's happening in Matthew's gospel today. The people whom Matthew was written to were kind of like us, sometimes impatient, sometimes anxious, sometimes oblivious to things, sometimes asleep to where God is, where God might show up, in whom God might show up, how God might show up, and for who God might show up in the world. We can be asleep, so tired, so weary, that we might not even realize something bigger and greater is happening out there and is about to happen. So I want to talk with you a little bit about this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, a word of hope for us, despite it being a challenging text that Diane shared with us, a word of hope. So Black Friday was just a couple days ago, right? Did anybody here go shopping? I know. I did a lot of online shopping. Did anybody camp out anywhere? Be honest. Did you? No? Well, my brother and sister-in-law went to Carter's for baby clothes because you had the potential of getting a $1,000 gift card. You were one of the first 100 people there And they both went in line and kind of dipped out of Thanksgiving dinner early, and they both got a $5 gift card. I hope it was worth it. Combined 10 bucks, though. Maybe you can get some onesies and things like that, like I showed off down there. Well, every year, despite our world being more and more digitized, and shopping that can take place anywhere, anytime, at your fingertips, you can do it with your thumbs, you can do it anywhere, people still camp out on Black Friday or even the day before Thanksgiving, right? But today, Black Friday deals, they arrive even earlier than Friday. To the wee shopping hours on Friday morning, maybe they're even on Thanksgiving themselves, those poor retail workers, right? You know, they keep scaling them back further and further and further. The point is, we have a very difficult time as a culture waiting for things. We just can't wait when it comes to most things, especially doorbuster deals. We can't wait for them. In our gospel today, we don't have a Christmas story, not at all. Matthew's gospel tells us instead about Jesus' second coming, his arrival after his death and resurrection. The Son of Man, they talk about, the showing up of this one, the day of the Lord. And Jesus does so by telling his people that they need to keep watch and to be prepared. And the first thing he does to share this is he talks about the story of Noah. Noah. According to Matthew 24, in the days leading up to the flood in Noah, in Genesis, the normal patterns of human life prevailed. People ate, they drank, you know, they had babies. Life was normal. They weren't prepared for anything. Only Noah was. My colleague, Michael Chan, wrote about this. He says, from there, God would start over with Noah, his family, a small remnant of animals. Jesus' coming, similarly, will come as a surprise for those that are unprepared for its sudden arrival. In other words, when we hear Jesus talk this way, with this allusion to Noah and his family, it's kind of like he's talking to us as the Black Friday shopping crowd, in a sense. He's talking to those people that just can't wait, the people that might be discouraged by waiting too long. Matthew's gospel was written to a crowd that was expecting Jesus to return right away, and to those who were discouraged that he wasn't back yet. So the Jesus in Matthew, in Matthew's gospel, suggests if the people aren't watching and waiting and being prepared, they may, like Noah's family, or excuse me, they may, like everybody else in Noah's world, get swept away in the flood. They may miss out on his arrival because it'll come like the flood without notice. So you have to be prepared all the time, all the time. And then Matthew's Jesus gives us another description of what it will be like when he is back. He says, a thief in the night, a thief in the night. He will come back like a thief in the night. When my wife and I moved into our first apartment together, we lived in St. Paul at the time, and we both parked our cars outside. And almost every night when we would go out to the parking lot, or you'd go in the morning to, you know, go to work, you'd have to kind of hold your breath because there you'd see glass all over the place. Glass. Because someone would end up, there was somebody going around and breaking into cars all around. So we thought, heck with this, we're not going to deal with this. We're going to pay the extra $50 a month so both of us can park our cars in an indoor parking lot. And that was awesome. We were happy. You know, we were in this underground gated lot. There was no need to brush snow off in the morning. You know, no need to heat up the car in the garage. You could just kind of hit the ground running. We were comfortable. So one Sunday, when we were getting ready to go to church together, got down to my car, and there was glass all over the place. Someone had broken into my car. Someone had broken into 17 cars. All of them in the wee morning hours while everyone was asleep. This ruined my day, but it ruined some other people's days even worse than mine. Jesus says in Matthew, when he comes back, it's going to be like a thief in the night. You're not even going to know that it's going to happen. It's going to be unexpected, unprecedented, surprising. So you must always be prepared for that fateful time and place when he returns. So what the heck are we supposed to do with this? This doesn't sound like a Christmas story. This doesn't sound like, you know, I'm getting us ready for, you know, for Jesus arriving. You know, what are we to do? What does this have to do with Advent? Well, the thing is, after 2,000 plus years, we've been waiting an awful long time for Jesus to come back, right? So long, in fact, that I would wager many of us probably aren't waiting anymore. You know, if we can't even wait until Friday for Black Friday deals, then how the heck are we supposed to continue to wait for Jesus after two millennia? Yep. So what does this talk from Matthew's gospel to his people about watching and waiting have to do with our start to our journey of Advent? To the manger with baby Jesus and his mother and the shepherds and cattle and such. Well, I think it really has everything to do with it. The thing is, Jesus wasn't just born once. Well, he was, but, you know. Every year we celebrate his birth, though. Every year. We reenact it with the kids. Every year we have lessons and carols on Christmas Eve. Every year we remember also, though, his death. And we celebrate his resurrection. That's a new birth. Every year, as we begin the journey to the barn and the manger with the animals where Mary gave birth to Jesus, we, like the people in Matthew's gospel, we can be kind of impatient. We begin to predict the way that things are going to go, because we've heard the story before, right? We know when we hear about the wise men, what's going to come next. We hear about the shepherds, what's coming next. We can probably, you know, think of that Charlie Brown Christmas special in our head, and that is good enough for probably most people. But our story from Matthew's gospel today isn't about prediction. It's about being prepared. It's not about prediction, but being prepared. We can be anxious for things to just hurry up and go. This is evident when, you know, people go and they line up on Thanksgiving evening for Black Friday deals. Or think about when we have Christmas stuff up in retailers after Halloween. In a way, we can be kind of asleep, like the people in Matthew's gospel. Because we've heard the story of Jesus' birth before, and we know how it ends. We know how it ends. It's kind of like watching the movie Titanic. Leo DiCaprio is not going to have a happy ending with Rose. It's just not going to happen. We can be oblivious, therefore, because we think the story is just about Jesus being born. But the thing is, something bigger is truly happening. And we are, during this time and the weeks before Christmas, all invited to keep watch, to keep our eyes open, our ears open, to open ourselves up for God's presence breaking into the world. We are called to be on the ready for Jesus' arrival, not just as the baby when we talk about Christmas Eve in a couple weeks, but in our lives every day. I shared it with the kids. Where might Jesus show up in your life? Might it be at work? Might it be at school? Might it be at the bedside of a loved one? Might it be, you know, when you're out to lunch? Might it be at the bank? Who knows where Jesus might show up? Might it be out on the street? Our lives are filled with unexpected, surprising, and life-altering events. So we got to be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually for these things. And during all of this, we're invited, in fact, we are commanded by the Scripture to keep watch for the presence of God that we know in Christ. Who might the light of Christ be to you during this time in your life? Where might God show up that surprises you? Who might God show up in, and how might you be the light of Christ to somebody right now? Where might you never think God would show up, and how might you bring God there or be open to experiencing God there? When Matthew's gospel talks about Jesus' second coming, it's really an appropriate scripture for us today, because this Advent, we are invited to wake up, to rub the sleep from our eyes, to open up our ears to something bigger and better and something that's happening out there. Like Noah's neighbors in the flood, or a thief in the night, or a tow truck hauling away all of your roommate's cars, Jesus will come. Because if Jesus can show up in a barn with a baby, itchy hay and stinky animals, born to an unwed teenager and her fiancé, then a word for hope this Advent is to be on the lookout for how God is going to show up in unexpected ways, in places, in times, and people. And a reminder that we need to be awake and prepared and open